What is up, FIFA Tears, and welcome back to the Three Foot Tears podcast, or well, this week it should be known as the One Foot Tear podcast, as sadly neither Merz nor Brad are available, and it is just down to myself, LAJS. So that makes this, rather than the FSB creators, this week it is the FS Me creator. And well, I'm going to try and soldier on through this and try and make this as entertaining as I can for you. I can't promise this is going to be incredibly structured, but just work with me on this one. We start off where all good podcasts by the FSB start with, and that is the promo that's currently out. So the current promo is still Fantasy Foot. It is Team 2, and I've got the team in front of me on my phone just to make sure I've not missed anyone. So a lot of these players have already got cards of some kind. So we've got Dembele being the huge Saint-Maximin style. It's almost like they were both in a thing. Also had Foot last year, a Foot F promo. Foot Freeze, Foot Fantasy. I'm seeing patterns. You see a return of two, a minimum of, well, let me just count these. One, two, three. Seems like only three. I was hyping myself up for that. So three players have got winter wild cards that now also have fantasy foots in Team 2 alone. And that is Awa, who was previously in SBC, Martial, and Coutinho, who was previously in SBC and has obviously transferred. So it's good to see there is now a good Aston Villa version of Coutinho outside of his left wing inform. Martinelli is going to make Merz happy personally, along with a lot of other Arsenal fans, and it's a generally good looking card. I watched someone pack it on stream in front of me. When I raided someone, within a minute they packed him, and it was great. We've got Bamba, who obviously had his rule breakers earlier in the year. Alexandro gets his turn to form. Everyone loving his FIFA 19 flashback. I believe it's FIFA 19, might have been 20, could be wrong, but obviously he does get an amazing card each year. And then we get some other people who've had special cards either this year or down the years. So you obviously got Pedro, who had the flashback. You've got Sissoko getting his yearly good card. Of course, it's not performance-based. Come on, it's Sissoko. I love the man as a Spurs fan, but come on, it's Sissoko. Rodrigo for Leeds. That card looks very good for the price point that it's at. I do rate that card and how it looks. Atal has now got another card because obviously he had the signature signings back on Black Friday. Sirigu, I mean, I highlighted the fact that he had a Foot birthday way back in, like, I'm going to say FIFA 17. Alvarez, the CDM for Ajax, some more support coming in for the Eredivisie brigade. I do actually think that card looks fairly solid. Obviously, a team of the season coming up soon. Off-leagues might get even more support soon. Obviously, they've had all the objective support as well. I say season reward, level 15 and 30. Mikel Merino, Vertonghen, and Hincapie. I've probably absolutely butchered his name. But those are some good little solid centre-backs towards the end there, and obviously Merino. It's a solid, well-rounded card. I do need to check whether we got a week for upgrade. Hang on 1 second. I'm checking this live. Tells you how much research I've put into this. Mikel Merino. No, he's still three-star. So it's still, it's good stats, but realistically, you're not going to want that. Obviously, it's upgradable, but you would want the weak foot to go with it or the skill moves. I know the skill moves is personally a thing that would hold me back. Although it is on a DM, so it's not as important when they've got that well-rounded stats. You'll make sacrifices for someone like, say, a Kante or Sissoko. So why not make it for Merino in La Liga? Other things that have happened, obviously, are some SBC players have come out. So we've got, specifically today's, being Donyell Marlon, who previously would have strong-linked to a prior day's one with Noni Maduke. That's a butchered name as well. So, good to see I'm butchering names left and right. So, we got a couple good SBCs. Obviously, Perisic earlier in the week. And I think Antonio was in last week's. So, that's fine. The cards, specifically, the Donyell Marlon looks like his team of the season, I'm going to say, from last year. Maybe it was his showdown. It's similar to one of his cards that he had last year. Very similar. So that looks like a very nice card for, I believe, an 82 and an 86 rated squad. You can't go wrong, really. Moving on to other content, we've got ourselves the 92 plus Prime or Prime Icon Moments. And my God, is that an expensive SBC. 288 rated squads, 289 rated squads, two of which require an inform. It costs people an arm and a leg, and I've seen some very bad pulls from that. So I'm glad I've stayed clear. I've sold my fodder as a result of this. I did fund my RB Leipzig past and present team that I'm planning on taking on this coming weekend league. But as for the rest of it, I honestly look at what people have got, and I know for a fact, based off of one of my personal viewers, in a person called Shantius, he ended up getting scammed. So I know he's probably going to request a separate pack because he got Prime Nakata from it. Prime Nakata obviously being 88 rated. So yeah, Shan has been very hard done by, and I don't know if that's happened to other people. If it's happened to one person, you assume it's happened to others. But that's not good. That's really not good. Other cards, obviously, that have come out in the meantime, we've had the mini release of some RTTF cards. So, memorably, there is, and I had a little bit of a bone to pick with this, is they've brought out Memphis Depay, Kyle Walker, Thiago, Maitland-Niles, and Lucas Hernandez. Not, I nearly said Theo, but Lucas Hernandez. And the thing I see with that is outside, there's some good cards in there. Let's not pretend they're not good cards. And I'm not saying that these cards are bad per se, or that they are non-meta. I'm more of the perspective that I believe these cards, you should have had a bit more variance. I believe I said it on last week's one, that we need a Villarreal card, we need a Benfica card. Obviously, they're not the most desirable teams, I get that. But they've progressed still into the last eight of the Champions League. So at that point, you'd think, if they were doing a mini release, you might include one of those players. As for who you'd give it to, I'm not 100% sure. I think we looked through in the past. Let me just have a look now at some players for... Let's start off with Villarreal, because that'll be the easiest one to look at. They gave it to Dan Juma, obviously, last time with the RTTK. Lo Celso got the objective this week, so maybe that they'll think that's made up for it. But even if they want, without sounding generic and repeating myself, because obviously the good players have normally got it, you could have given it to Gerard Moreno if you just wanted high-rated fodder, but at that point, that's no one would be happy with that, really. No one would really be happy to see them anyway, so maybe if you just give it to Pau Torres and wax and pace on him to make him 80+, people might go, oh, do you know what? Yeah, okay, it's generic, they've repeated players. He had a winter wild cards, but heck, they've given other people winter wild cards and then given him a special card this week alone. So I don't see an issue with giving it to Pau Torres. As for Benfica, they did give Vertonghen a card this week for Fantasy Foot, or Foot Fantasy, I should say, correct way around. So at least they've given Benfica a special card this week that makes up for the fact there's no RTTF. And obviously as well, there is a mini Man of the Match reward. There's a mini release for Man of the Matches, in which not really many of note here. You've got a right back version of Joe Gomez. He's already got a centre back, two centre back special cards from Foot Versus. You got 77 and 79, and then a 79 Premier League centre back in Mark Way. That's discard value. And the only other one's Gundogan. Nothing really of note. He's got three special cards. He had the rule breakers, he had obviously this Man of the Match, he had an inform, and he had that Moments SBC around Team of the Year. So there's not been too much happening in FIFA this week. It's a really difficult week to do a solo podcast, I will say that. Based off of content alone, I'm struggling. So moving on though, I don't know if we touched on it in the previous week. Obviously, the Classic Cup is still ongoing. I believe you get 3 games a day. And obviously, you go up the ladder, try and get to 14 wins. I've not done this at all. And I doubt Merz or Brad have. So I can't really touch on that. I do like the look of the Simon that happened last week. I didn't really touch on it, but that's a card. His cards down the years, the team of the season, I know it was the winter promo. I can't remember if it was Foot Freeze or if it was the year before where it was still Footmas. I think it was still Footmas at the time. Simon had a great card that year. It was the dead cheap one, and it was a beautiful card. So the fact I've not done that yet worries me. I've still got about 4 days to do that. And Lo Celso, ex-Tottenham, technically I think still contracted to Tottenham, is just a loan. It's a nice strong link to Lamella, who I did do last week. I mean, a lot of people would think, oh, it just looks like an average, bang average card. Not even fully in the 80s. 2 stats in the high 80s being dribbling and passing. It's nothing really to look into that much. But it's something that I might do as a nice little passing present for Tottenham. Outside of that, I don't see many people touching this card unless they want to use it for fodder. And the fact that it's a decent enough team with Villarreal, maybe that can go up to an 88, 89, maybe even a 90. And if so, then that becomes used for an icon SBC. So I don't see people turning... I can see people turning the nose up it. But I think logically, in the long term, let's see what this requires just before I make a judgment call. Basically, score in 7 games in an online friendly game mode. I don't see why that wouldn't be fairly straightforward to do. Doing 7 games for a possibly, potentially 90 rated card. This is where he gets an assist. He will play, he will win a game. I'd say this is a minimum of an 89. This is where he scores and or assists. So, swiftly moving on to this week in football. This is going to be a much shorter segment, obviously, being the international break. There wasn't too many league games going on. There was the 6-5 win for Wrexham. Very dramatic game. Ryan Reynolds must have thought it had been a script that had been handed to him. 6-5, massive comeback. I believe they were 2-0 up, 5-2 down, and then 6-5. So, very, very interesting game there. But the big news in the international break is that Italy are not going to Qatar. And, well, what a game. And you could say it's definitely an argument that FIFA is legitimate and the scripting is very much something that happens in real life as well, because Italy rule over North Macedonia. Credit to the goalkeeper. Italy just could not get the ball in the back of the net. And then the man's clearly green-timed it from range and just pinged it in the bottom corner past Donnarumma. And yeah, Italy are not going to Qatar, which is definitely a shock. European champions, you'd expect them to try and push on, but due to Switzerland, who will get onto their game in a minute, Switzerland knocking them out by finishing top of the group. And then North Macedonia, of all teams, they had their first Euros, I believe, in the last tournament, which obviously Italy won. Goran Pandev getting one of their few goals. That they've got some all right players. Now they've got Elmas, they've got Alioski. There's a few players in there. There's Bardi as well for, I'm going to say, Levante. But credit to them, they're not at the tournament yet. They've not made it to the World Cup. They still have to get through, I believe, Portugal with my boy André Silva in the national team. I don't think he even starts, which I think they start Jota as striker instead, which is fair enough. It would be very much an underdog story if North Macedonia do make it through. Obviously, they already have made it to a major tournament, but a World Cup, no offence, and this is not a shot at Italy, I'd be saying this if England had won the final, is that the Euros is not as big a competition as the World Cup. Obviously, more teams, more variants from around the world. It's the bigger tournament. It's the one that everyone's got their eyes on. Do I think England will win it? Personally, no. I think England will not suit the conditions in Qatar and we will be in trouble. Think basically the Champions League final between Tottenham and Liverpool, except worse, because I assume it's going to be hotter than it was in Madrid then. But obviously it's in the winter, so I don't know how well the climate's going to hold up there. maybe we'll do okay, but I'm still expecting sweltering heat over in Qatar. So England to struggle, we'll be having to play slower pace games, and teams that can press through and have the stamina and are used to the climates more so, a Brazil, an Argentina, maybe someone like that, Spain, few teams like that you'd back to do well. Good old England, I don't think so. It, call me pessimistic, I don't see it happening. As I mentioned earlier, though, talking of England, there was the game between England and Switzerland, which arguably Switzerland put in a bloody good effort. They could have scored about 4 or 5 without the heroics of Jordan Pickford, which is not something you can say this season that often. Sorry, Everton fans, if you're listening, but Jordan Pickford's not been spectacular, but he seems to just show up whenever he's wearing an England shirt. So maybe talk to the kit man, see if he can sort that out, and maybe Everton's season can get turned around. But yeah, Pickford had a great game. The goal scorers in that match being Breel Mbolo with a beautiful header past Pickford. Poor defending from England left him with a lot of space. It's a good whip in from Shaqiri, and he just rose high and placed the header well. And then Luke Shaw scoring again. He's starting to make this a habit, is Luke Shaw. He scored in the Euros final, which didn't go well. But he also scored dead on halftime here. He seems to like emerging into the box late, and it seems to be working for him. So, hey, maybe there's hope for us after all. And then Kane is getting ever closer to the all-time record. I believe he's 4 goals behind Wayne Rooney now, 5 away from the all-time record. And I believe he's level with Bobby Charlton. Quite esteemed company to be in. I'm just going to bring up a few highlights of other games that I have noted down here. Ireland got a good result of 2-2 in an international friendly against Belgium. Denmark 4-2 loss to the Netherlands, but Christian Eriksen scoring with his first touch after coming on at halftime was a beautiful moment. Germany beat Israel 2-0. Spain beat Albania 2-1. Qatar beat Bulgaria. In the World Cup qualifying games, we saw Algeria beat Cameroon. Egypt beat Senegal, so that's revenge for the AFCON final, but I think they'd rather the trophy personally. Brazil beat Chile 4-0, Colombia beat Bolivia 3-0, Uruguay beat Peru 1-0, and Paraguay beat Ecuador 3-1. This is all in World Cup qualification. Costa Rica getting a 1-0 win against Canada, but I believe Canada are still through to the World Cup, if I'm not mistaken. Those are the major results. Obviously, Mexico-USA is always a big grudge match in soccer. Gareth Bale getting on the score sheet twice for Wales to see them into a commanding position in their qualification bid. You got the 2-1 result there against Austria. Sweden beat Czech Republic. And Portugal winning 3-1 against Turkey, who I think we've all come to realise Turkey are not all that. Going into Euro 2020, everyone thought Turkey would be the dark horse of the competition. They see a few names, Suyuncu, they see Yilmaz, they go, he won the league. But on the international stage, they got found out. And I'm sorry, Ben, I'm going to say it. Suyuncu is being found out a lot nowadays. He was very impressive at points last season, but now this season, without Fofana alongside him, he's looked a lot more suspect. And obviously, same with the national team. But let's just quickly, I know we've already gone over the games. I do have the Footbin Team of the Week prediction alongside this, although you will see some repeat names in here. So we've got Steven Bergwijn predicted for a second in form. Christian Pulisic predicted alongside a hero card for Gareth Bale at striker. I wouldn't be shocked at that. Obviously, it wouldn't be as much as his live card is at the moment. Rashica getting one for Kosovo. Tchouameni being one that a lot of people were interested in because previously he has got his future stars, but that is very, very expensive. And other than that, I believe he's got 2 informs to his name. Rodrigo De Paul, for those who invested in his ones to watch, which I'm just checking that I still have them because I did invest in it. Please tell me I still have him. I still have him. Okay. So Rodrigo De Paul is predicted to get an inform to an 84 rated. Octavio, Jordi Alba. I'm just going to hurry through these. Jordi Alba, Kieran Tierney possibly at centre-back, so that's a nice position change outside of the fact he has already got a left-back winter wildcard. Keylor Navas for a clean sheet. The goal scorer for Costa Rica sadly isn't in the game, so this one's the reason they've given it to him. He didn't even make too many saves, but it's someone who kept a clean sheet on international duty of high-ish regard. Other than that, Luke Shaw's the only other real notable name outside of, and it's not that it's a notable name, but Chris Wood for Newcastle. They did win 7-1, so I'm not shocked to see his name in there. That, I believe, will be all for this week in football / team of the week prediction as we move on to the Q&A. Now, the Q&A is probably going to actually pad some time here because I've just seen this is a very short podcast. It's about 20 minutes. So they have been coming in thick and fast today, even from the likes of Brad and Mers, knowing, obviously, they are eligible to ask questions because they're not here now. We've got the first question, which is from GH, which is, what is on my bucket list, if I even have one? I don't have a written out one, but there are certain things in life I would like to achieve. One being, I would like to go to Japan. I would like to obviously settle down and have a family, but that's not really a bucket list item. I'd like to, well, realistically, without going, I'd like to grow stream, etc. I'd like to grow community, going into all that stuff. That is something that would be on that list, but that's something that's not something that I know I can achieve just by saving up and going somewhere. That's more on the hard work, effort, and commitment side of matters. But I guess I'm not someone who thinks too long term, so I don't like setting goals. I don't like setting up ideas of certain things. So obviously, the one exception being a trip to Japan at some point. Outside of that, I don't really harbour anything in particular where I'd say, oh yeah, I want to do this with my life. I'm very open minded, but I'm not very objective driven, which is ironic considering the thing I'm known for in the community is doing objectives. Let's move on to the next one, but thank you for that question, GH. Next one is from Mers, which is, which football team other than Tottenham would I like to see a behind the scenes documentary about? And I'm trying to think of a good one for this because you'd think at the moment, if you just stick the spotlight on Chelsea, it would have been a great one this year. That would be for completely different reasons. What's a team that you'd be fascinated to see? Because so far, you've seen Tottenham. You're going to see Arsenal this season, I believe. Man City being one of the other ones. And Sunderland being... They're the main four I can think of that have had documentaries or are working on documentaries. Who would I want to see? Other than just making a RB Leipzig, Andre Silva joke. Honestly, the inner workings of a team... I think Derby County would be an interesting one. Seeing the full behind-the-scenes story of Derby County right now. They don't know, but they're working week in, week out. The sheer commitment from the club, seeing all the behind-the-scenes would be fascinating. Probably heartbreaking, depending on what happens at the end of the season, but I think that would make for a lot of good viewing. Especially with the story of Wayne Rooney turning the team around. They're fighting their way out. Whether they'll stay up, we don't know. I'm trying to think if there's another team. I'm trying to think per league. Who would intrigue me per league? I'd have liked to have seen the story of Lille winning the title from behind the scenes. Obviously the same with Leicester, if it was the title winning season. But if we're thinking German league, I can't really think... Maybe I'd have liked to have seen Borussia Mönchengladbach. Not to say that I enjoy seeing teams suffer or anything like that, because I'm bringing up a lot of negative ones outside of Lille winning the league. But Mönchengladbach were struggling for a while, so seeing changes backstage and stuff like that with managers changing, it would bring more of a drama to it. But if he's asking me, like, what team do I like that I'd like to see? I think RB Leipzig would be an inner workings one. I said I wouldn't say it, but I did. So, depending on how he's going for it. But thank you, Mers, for submitting the question. We move on to Kofta. Kofta has said this week, Thoughts on Kulusevski, and was he a necessary purchase as you already had Lucas Moura on that right-hand side? That is a great question, because I thought when he signed, Kulusevski was fully going to be extra. He's going to be rotation, maybe. But he's stepped up big time, because I'd heard horror stories from Juve fans that, oh, he's not good. He's going to really struggle. Thank God he's off our hands. And now he's seemingly fitting into Conte's system of the 3-4-3 really well. And it's making that front three very potent of Son, Kane and Kulusevski. Bentancur as well, I will chuck in as an honourable mention, has done particularly well. He's very composed, arguably too composed at times. But Kulusevski, I do love Lucas Moura. I still think that Poch messed up by not starting in the final, but I'm not going to get into that whole debate. But I do very much rate Lucas Moura as a player. He leaves everything out on the field, very quick, can do a lot with the ball. But he just needed to be a little more consistent. Do I think that it was a good sign? Let me just read the question again to make sure I'm coming at this from the right angle. Was he a necessary purchase? Okay, from a necessary... The wording? No. No, he was not a necessary purchase. Right wing, we had an abundance of wing options. I would have personally wanted another centre-back. I've been saying this for a while, but that would be the more necessary purchase to replace Ben Davies in the centre-back line. He's been a very good signing, but not necessary. It has meant that people like Bergwijn, people like Moura, have got less game time, which is a shame, but we've had a nice bounce in results. And I talk about bounce, we have been up, down, up, down, up, down. Now we're up, up, and we've got an international break. So it's a very well-worded question, because even though I do rate the signing, I do have to say he was not necessary. So thank you for your question this week, Kofta. And we move on to Venom, who actually, the question is going to relate to the last man. Moving on to Venom's question, Venom has kindly asked, what is my favourite Spurs chant, and would I like to sing it? Not really one for publicly singing. It's not really singing if you're chanting a song, though, a football ground, though, so we might, we'll see. But it is the Kulusevski chant that has recently happened, talking of the man that Kofta referenced. And it is obviously ABBA's Gimme Gimme Gimme. It was done previously for Cavani, I believe, by United fans, but Spurs have adopted it. Because, you know, chants are really original these days. You just you use the same sort of tune and reword it. But for those who do not know, it is Gimme, gimme, gimme a ginger from Sweden. He came from Juventus and he plays on the wing. Gimme, gimme, gimme a ginger from Sweden. Number 21, his name is Kulusevski. And then just goes into gimme, gimme, gimme music. So that is my favourite. Obviously, a classic is the one that's no longer allowed. The Army, we'll say, is just a typical classic Tottenham chant. But thank you, Venom, for the question. And I will go on to our final question, which is from Brad. And Brad has asked, obviously we've referenced this before, that both me and him do watch wrestling, and that is, who is my favourite wrestler of all time and why? Now, that is such a difficult question to answer, because there's so many different eras that you could go off of. I mainly grew up on Ruthless Aggression and PG, but there's so many classics from the Attitude Era. If I had to narrow it down, I don't even think I could Rushmore, if I'm being honest. I genuinely have to think this through, because this I could get crucified for what I say here. And I know Brad will just come back with this next week and just rip me a new one, depending on who I say. So I didn't grow up on Austin, Rock. I did grow up on Taker, Triple H and the likes. I did briefly watch it with them in, but obviously you have to watch that back. I've said obviously twice in this sentence. I apologise. But who would I say was my favourite? I honestly don't know, because I wasn't the biggest Cena fan. I was more of a I like cool bad guys. So these days I'm a fan of someone like a Kevin Owens, someone like a... Well, I guess an AJ Styles isn't really that much of a cool bad guy. Nowadays, he's now more of a babyface. He's just turned on the build-up to his Mania match with Edge. Edge is a classic. I know Brad is a big fan of Edge, and I do not blame him. He is definitely up there in terms of tenure, in terms of commitment. Obviously, again, I've said obviously. But he had the ladder matches, the triangle ladder matches, the TLCs. Edge is a very good shout, but if I had to narrow it down, who would I say? If I'm searching in my heart of hearts for who I actually rate the height, I think it's more the most underrated one I can think of, Shelton Benjamin, Mr. Kennedy. Those are ones that I absolutely loved. I played a lot of SVR07, and those were my two go-to characters on that game. It was a bit of Shelty B and a bit of Mr. Kennedy. So I think generally I like the brash, arrogant heels. Saying Mr. Kennedy or Shelton Benjamin is your favourite all-time wrestler is just a surefire way to get you crucified. So I think if he didn't have so many rocky storylines, I would say Kane. But he had so many dodgy storylines down the years that kind of tarnishes it a little bit. When you think of the Katie Vick situation, when you think of all the stuff that's happened, there's so many I can't even... No, May 19th. There's so many that I just can't go through them one by one under pressure. But I think, end of the day, I'm going to say my favourite wrestler of all time is Kurt Angle. I'm going to go for Kurt Angle, the sheer match quality he could put on, the charisma that he could play a goofy face or heel, a serious face or heel. The sheer range on that man is quite something, although I do rate early and current Brock Lesnar for similar reasons, that he could just be an absolute madman, or he can just goof around. The sort of stuff when he just held onto titles for Christ knows how long and didn't defend it is the reason I'm not putting him higher than Angle, but those are sort of my ones. Angle and sort of Lesnar, and to a lesser extent Shelton Benjamin and Mr. Kennedy. If I was born slightly sooner, obviously this would be a conversation about Rock, Austin, etc. But because of where I grew up and what I watched, I'm going to still get crucified for not saying them two, and I know it. Or even Taker, who longevity, etc. But I don't know, I like Taker, but when I was younger, it just didn't click. Didn't Nothing like that. So, not as the top one for me. He clicked, but not like favourite. But thank you, Brad. I had a genuinely hard time with that question. I don't know if Mercer's going to leave all of that in, or if he's going to leave virtually none of that in. But thank you again. And that has been all from the One Foot Tier podcast this week. There is a reason it's not permanently known that way, and will not be. So we will be back to the 3 foot tiers next week, hopefully, with Merz and Brad making a return. God help them. I need them back, because this has been nothing short of chaotic, as I'm sure Merz is finding out in the edit. So I appreciate anyone who did stay and listen this far, because I know it's been difficult this week. So if you have listened to all this, I can only thank you for putting up with this mishmash of a situation, and we should be back next week. There will be a Pack to the Future upload on the channel on YouTube. There may even be two this week, because I might record my own separate one testing out the 81 plus player picks. But that has been all from me this week. I will see you next week, and hopefully Brad and Merz will too. Peace out, guys.